Yo, this is Axl Rose of Guns N' Roses.
Hey, this is Carmen Electra.
Hi, this is Daryl Strawberry.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G.
Hi, this is Don Sally.
Hey, yo, Hulk Hogan here.
What's up? This is Beyonce. I got a great show lined up for y'all.
Hey, yo, let's get this party started.
The Sports Beat.
You know what? Let's keep it hot.
The Sports Beat
is off the chain, man.
The Sports Beat.
Download the podcast now.
You're listening to The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You are listening to us on Home of Southern Sports, WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, and we are based out of Noonan, Georgia. This is episode 799. Yes, I will have my 800th episode tomorrow. But we have got a special episode for you today because I'm going to have two guests. My first guest, he's been a familiar guest from the Sports Beat, GPB Sports anchor John Nelson. We're here just talking about high school basketball in the GHSA as we got Elite Eight games going on today and tomorrow. And then later on in the show, I'm going to have WMAZ Sports Director Marvin James, the CBS affiliate in Macon, Georgia, as we are going to talk everything Macon sports. You don't want to miss it. I hope that you're able to enjoy the show as I just keep trucking along. And don't forget, I normally have my bracketology show on Tuesdays. Because I had two guests today, I will have my bracketology show Tomorrow, I'm not going to have a guest. I'm going to go the full hour. It is going to be dedicated to my show, looking back at the last 4 years, all the guests that I've had, some of my favorite moments, some of my favorite memories. It really has been a huge milestone, and I couldn't have done it without just people supporting me in my life and people giving me opportunity. Because sometimes, and Josh Pate once said this, that your talent and your passion have to intersect. Because not everybody could do what we do. You know, he is a very talented broadcaster, and I've actually looked at my life and I try to reflect my work ethic, my career, based off of Josh Pate. And I know that my broadcast partner, Thrift Behringer, feels the same way. And we just continue to grind because we know, like Josh Pate says, the grind is a blessing. Absolutely. We've got Elite Eight action today in Columbus. Hardaway taking on Holy Innocents Episcopal. Carver is taking on Hart County. Up in Hamilton, Georgia, Harris County is taking on Cartersville. I know that I don't have much of an introduction, so I'm just going to go right into the guests. We're going to go ahead and take a commercial break. And when we come back, my first guest will be GPB Sports anchor John Nelson. After that, WMAZ's Marvin James coming on the show. You don't want to go anywhere. It is the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. And we'll be right back.
Active Pest Control offers the best services and prices to protect your home, offering both monthly and quarterly pest control services, plus specific services like bed bug, German roach, and flea control. Even if you can't see them, insects are all around you 24/7. Active Pest Control wants to be the first line of defense. Active Pest Control, repair, bond, best termite coverage around. Active Pest Control, 34 Jefferson Street, Noonan, 770-954-9941.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Tune in each Sunday morning right here on WQEE 99.1 FM for The Key for Help from a High with Bishop Daniel Hardaway Sr. of Redemptive Life Worship Center at 9 a.m. Hear the Word of God and soak it in. You can join us for our live Sunday service at 10 o'clock a.m. till 12:30 p.m. at Redemptive Life Worship Center at 2265 Highway 54 in Marlin, Georgia. Have a blessed week.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another exciting episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. Do not adjust your screen. I have changed everything. I got a new logo. I got a new polo shirt as we're trying to move into a different direction in the Sports Beat. This has been a very busy week, not only in Columbus, but the entire state of Georgia, as we are in the Elite Eight. As my next guest is going to be super busy next week for 4 days in Macon, and I'm really excited to bring on to the show to talk a little high school basketball. Please welcome to the show GPB Sports anchor John Nelson. John, how are you?
Doing all right, Richard. I'll be watching with everybody else, so I will be looking from afar this year. Our friends at the NFHS Network will be broadcasting it this year, so we will be watching just as much as everybody else is.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and talk about at the Macon Coliseum from March 6th through the 9th. There's some repeat teams that won the championship last year. And I'm looking at teams like Wheeler for the 7A boys, teams like Alexander for the 6A boys. I mean, is there a team in your mind that looks to repeat? And I got to ask you, how tough is this Grayson team? Because they look like they're one of the best teams in the country.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at 7A on the boys' side, I know that because of rotation, you'll sit there and go, well, you know, you'd like for it to be, you know, A and B. But on the left-hand side of the bracket in 7A, you've got Wheeler, traditional power, and they're working their way through as they always have. And then you've got McEachern on the left-hand side. And a lot of folks, if you ask them about a championship game, I mean, just outside of Grayson, and we know Grayson's on the right-hand side of the bracket, and they've got some work to do on their own. But I think a lot of folks, if you said, I'll take Wheeler and McEachern in a title game, they'd be cool with that, and they would anticipate something like that. But that's going to be a semifinal. That is going to be a semifinal on the left-hand side if everything manages to go the way that folks anticipate. I mean, Wheeler in the first two rounds, they averaged over 70 points a game. McEachern put up a 105 in the first round, and then they follow that up with a close win. Newton had their number for a little bit out of the blocks, but they shook it off to get into the Elite Eight. And so that left-hand side's going to be more of a – it's going to be a real interesting fight. But Grayson is going to be watching that left-hand side of the bracket, but they've got to have to deal with Milton and the Brook and Peachtree Ridge as the other three teams on the right-hand side too.
And McEachern has – according to ESPN.com, the highest recruited player in the state of Georgia, Arcurious Bailey, who's committed to Rutgers, which, by the way, has the number three recruiting class in the nation. There's so much talent at 7A. You talk about Joseph Wheeler. Wheeler had Isaiah Collier last year. We know about the history of newly inducted member of the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, Sharif Abdur-Rahim, played at Wheeler back in the 90s. I mean, Wheeler is just so talented. Do you think that Wheeler can repeat as champions for 7A?
That's the thing. It's like you've got those – if you follow through – everybody's looking at McEachern with the numbers they put up. And then you look
That's
at,
true.
And you got Grayson on the right-hand side. 7A, it's like I said, it's going to be one of the more entertaining classifications for those of us who are not named Grayson or McEachern or Wheeler. I mean, with Wheeler, it goes back to the days of Coach Lipscomb and the machine that was there for the Wheeler Wildcats. So the pedigree is there, as the others, you know, McEachern once again with their pedigree. And Grayson has been developing theirs as well. But, you know, it's forever and ever and ever. It's been Wheeler that's a part of the discussion and the highest classification. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, if you're a follower or a fan of any of the teams that are left, you're biting your nails. And those of us who are just watching to watch are going to enjoy these next couple of rounds as everybody gets to make it.
So, John, last year, Kel at 5A swept the titles for both the boys and the girls. Grayson is looking to do the same. Grayson is one of the favorites in 7A boys. I think Grayson's one of the favorites in 7A girls. I know that Buford is tough. I know that that's going to be the championship in girls 7A. Grayson versus Buford. Is there a dark horse team that you think that could get to the championship?
No, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, you look at North Paulding, who's working their way through as a one seed. But they would have to face Buford low left if, you know, in this next round that is coming up, if they were to get through that, then you're looking at Campbell and Cherokee. Once again, you've got 2-1 seeds who are going in the upper left-hand section of the bracket. So what you've got left in 7A girls is one seeds. I mean, I don't know if you can call any one seed a dark horse working their way through, but I know that if you look at what you're seeing with Grayson as they try to do both boys and girls in the 7A bracket, but I can never count out a Gene Durden coached team, because I've known Gene, full disclosure. Wow. I've known him probably for 20 years. And like I said, full disclosure, he's a great friend of mine. But what he has been able to do at both Dade County, and like I said, I'm going into the Wayback Machine with the time at Dade County and Ashley Houts, and Ashley Houts as an absolute shooter from 18 to 22 feet, going to the University of Georgia. That was my first exposure to Gene Durden, was in Trenton and Dade County in the Wolverine basketball program. So he goes from there and he goes to Buford. And what he has been able to do at Buford has been just build this dynastic program that has been there. I can never count out a Buford coach team. And considering what they were able to do in the first two rounds, literally, you look at what Buford has done going into the matchup with North Paulding. Buford gave up 21 in round number one and won by 45.
Wow.
Second round, they gave up 24 and won by 47. So that's what you're staring at. I think it's going to be Grayson and Buford. I know that a lot of folks are looking at that as well. Once again, upper right Grayson, lower left Buford. That is going to be a titanic battle if everything goes the way that folks are saying it will.
And I am so excited to possibly see that guard matchup between Danielle Carnegie for Grayson, who's committed to Georgia Tech, and Ava Watson for Buford, who's committed to Ohio State. There's just a lot of great basketball play. But there's one team down in 4A that has two of the top five players in girls basketball in the state of Georgia, and that is Wesleyan. Brianna Preston and Shadazi Wright both play for Wesleyan. As a Columbus fan, I know that the Carver girls, who won titles in 19 and 21, if they can get by Hart County and get to the Final Four, Wesleyan stands there. Wesleyan did defeat them in the Elite Eight last year. I think Wesleyan is the team to beat in 3A. I mean, this team just looks stacked, especially with the talent they have that's going to play at the next level.
Tell you what, I'll give you a team on the left-hand side of the bracket that I think might be able to challenge. And I mentioned Gene Durden and Buford. I'll give you Hebron Christian and Jan Azar.
Yes.
So basically, I will see your Wesleyan, and the irony that is attached here with Jan Azar, who built the Wesleyan program, and you knew it was like the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. We pay our taxes in April. Jan Azar was going to have a team in the last game of the year when it came to girls basketball in the state of Georgia. And they going into the Elite Eight, 28-2, Hebron Christian. And Jan Azar leaves Wesleyan, goes to Hebron Christian, and it has just been the same thing over and over and over. And like I said, I've seen what I've seen with Gene Durden build at Buford. I've seen Jan Azar build at Wesleyan and now at Hebron Christian. And so it's like, once again, it's just the logos change on the sweaters and the gear, but you anticipate that Jan Azar, if anybody might have that idea about how to chase after Wesleyan, it might be the irony of their old head coach. And so I will say Wesleyan on the right-hand side, Hebron Christian out of the left-hand side, and you want to talk about a hot crowd for that game because of all of the history that's attached with all of those folks with Wesleyan and now at Hebron Christian, that's going to be a fun one.
And also in 3A boys, Sandy Creek is the defending champions. I'm going to say that Hebron Christian, I like your pick for the girls. I think that Hebron Christian for the boys can get this clean sweep in 3A. But how about this? We might have a clean sweep in 4A because I think the Baldwin boys and the Baldwin girls can compete for a state title in 4A.
Yeah, Baldwin's got to get past Westminster, and then on the left-hand side as you fill out your brackets, hopefully in pencil still as we're at this point of the season. New Hampstead, North Oconee. North Oconee, they're averaging 81 points a game in their first two matchups, and New Hampstead is in the 70s. So does North Oconee turn that one low left into a track meet where it's like, okay, try and catch us if you can? Holy Innocents and Whitewater, low right, would be facing after, you know, he'd be chasing after Seckinger and Benedictine. Seckinger is doing really well as a basketball program. Very, very young school in Gwinnett County that is building a basketball program. Benedictine coming from the coast. Interesting to see that clash of styles with Seckinger and with Benedictine. But Baldwin, they have to get past Westminster, and then they would have to try and see if they could match up speed-wise, meaning going up and down the floor for a full game against a team like North Oconee. If North Oconee was to get through, New Hampstead challenging folks, they clamp down on Westside Macon. They clamp down even more on Cairo. They're winning by 20 on average. North Oconee is really putting some distance between themselves and the opposition. Baldwin, very, very interesting on the boys' side. We've seen them average in the 50s and the 60s. Very, very similar when it comes to their offensive output. You mentioned them on the girls' side. And when you lay out what's going on with Baldwin and the girls, it's, you know, the upper left-hand bracket, and it's Baldwin and Stockbridge. Stockbridge got past Southwest DeKalb, only won by two. Baldwin, they held their opponent in the first round to 5 points. It was a 1-4, which is somewhat understandable at times. Then they beat Trinity Christian by 20. So Baldwin, I think, on the left-hand side, I think that you're looking at a stout force there. But then you look at Fayette County and Chastity scoring in the 50s and 60s. Hardaway, Holy Innocents, once again, Holy Innocents, a traditional power making it, deep playoff runs. North Oconee on the boys' side is on the right-hand side of the bracket. Upper right is a 2 seed, and they've put up a lot of points so far. So Baldwin right now, comfortable in the mid-70s, the low 70s so far in the first two rounds. Once again, can anybody catch up with Baldwin on the left-hand side offensively? That'll be my question.
John, any of these schools in the Chattahoochee Valley, the Columbus area, like Harris County for 5A, Hardaway for 4A girls, Carver for 3A girls, can they make a deep run to the Final Four and possibly the championship?
Well, you're looking at, say, let's say Harris County, just to go, we'll take it a piece at a time. Harris County and Cartersville. Harris County would have to take advantage of playing this one at home. They're going up against Cartersville and making sure that gym in Hamilton is stacked. Harris County, once again, they've been a 1 seed, and they've had to deal with a clash of offensive styles in their first two games, beating Warner Robins in a 1-4. They beat them by 5 points, but they scored in the 70s. Then Harris County escapes with a 2-point win at home in Hamilton in round two. Cartersville had to get through overtime last time out to get past Jefferson. So Cartersville, as a 2 seed, has to go on the road to make that happen. So how does Cartersville respond, say, on short rest and with travel? That, to me, would be one of the things to look at when you're looking at, say, Harris County on the girls' side in 5A. When you're looking at Quad A, Holy Innocence on the girls' side, Holy Innocence is going to have to travel, but Holy Innocence has been scoring. They average 83 points a game in their first two matchups. So Holy Innocence looking to put the pedal down. Holy Innocence won by 65 in round one. They won by 19 in round two. Hardaway doing just as well, beating Troop by 46 in an interesting matchup in a 1-4. Hardaway and Troop, you want to talk about a packed gym there at Hardaway, out of the blocks for everything there in the Valley. Then Hardaway is going to, they beat Griffin, almost doubling Griffin, winning by 31. So
that was a rematch of the Final Four last year.
Yeah, so Hardaway, they've been able to clamp down defensively. Holy Innocence has been able to score a lot of points. You get a clash of styles, Holy Innocence on the road at Hardaway. That one, it's going to be an interesting one for me, just because, once again, you've got folks that have done really well defensively against a team that is averaging 83 points a game. So you sit there and you look at clash of styles for me. So I think it's going to be – I think if the teams there in the Valley can take advantage of quick turns and having teams travel on the road, I think those would be the two intangibles that I'm looking at, especially a Cartersville team that had to play an overtime game to win as a two seed to continue to advance. I think that those would be, for me, two that you have to pay attention to because of those external factors.
And, of course, Carver takes on Hart County at home as well. And I think that Carver is more than likely could face Wesleyan in the Final Four. I'm just excited about high school basketball, especially. This is the best that I've ever seen the Columbus area, not just in the GHSA, but also the GIAA. In the other side of the river, we have the AHSAA right now, as Central, Valley, Auburn, they are all in the Final Four. But John, I want to switch gears and talk about your work at GPB Sports. Like you mentioned, the NFHS Network is broadcasting the championships. Last year, you were part of the sideline. John, Matt Stewart was the voice of GPB Sports. And just talk about that experience that you had last year in Macon, just starting on that for 4 days. I mean, starting on that Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, leading up to the nightcap on Saturday.
No, it was, I think I lost 10 pounds, Richard, to be perfectly honest with you, because everyone, the way that we had it structured last year was, we had all the different broadcast teams. They were in Atlanta, and we had our crews in Macon shooting, and they were calling it from Atlanta. But I was the one that was there in Macon and calling the wheelchair final, which for me was a hoot, because I got to do it with Dr. Ralph Swearingen, the executive director emeritus of the Georgia High School Association, and having adapted sports as a sanctioned sport in the state of Georgia was one of the things that Dr. Swearingen really took on as a personal project. And to be able to see these athletes as well really meant a lot to me once again. And to be able to call a game with Doc Swearingen, I thought it was great. And we did the three-point and the slam dunk competition from down there. So I was kind of hosting that stuff as well. All of the non-game stuff where I was doing the interviews post game because I had my position there at the table. So game is over. You get the trophy. You get the trophy presentation. Players come over to visit with me right there at half court, and you know we're there filling time for that. But to be able to host the slam dunk, to be able to host the 3-point, it was a blast. And you know, it truly is a week of making sure that you refuel the second you get back to where you're staying, because like I said, I lost 10 pounds because I can't leave. You know, literally I'm there at the table and I can't leave the entire time. And so traditionally what I did is, you know, it's I'm snacking my way through it and these kinds of things, but well, I mean, I don't have any choice because like I said, I'm sitting there at the table and I've got to be ready for anything to happen as kind of like the make and host for the entire thing. And, I mean, it was a blast to be able to do it. It had been the first time in a while that we'd had the chance to do the basketball championships and to do it the way that we did. Shout out to Kevin Gerke, our sports director, and everybody that was associated with the production. Because when we do a championship at GPB, it is all hands on deck. And I mean, it's everybody from graphics to production to having individual producers and all these kinds of things to make the elements come together. Everybody in the two different studios. Hannah had her studio. Play-by-play and color had theirs. I was in Macon. So literally, it was all hands on deck, and it was really fun to put together last year. And looking forward to seeing how the production goes this year with our friends at NFHS.
And I know, John, you're going to be very busy, especially the next couple of months, because we will have spring practices for high school football and then spring games in May.
Never heard of this sport. I've never heard of this sport that you're talking about, Richard. High school football. I don't know. No. I don't know what you're talking about.
How has the offseason been for you and Hannah?
What offseason, sir? What off?
Oh, yeah. There is no offseason. You're right.
Bite your tongue. No. What we do during the offseason is, you know how Hannah and I do the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast. We do that we do two a month, one where Hannah goes and she'll find a topic and it will be like a one-on-one interview. Like, I'll give you an example. Last time out, Hannah was able to catch up with one of the biggest dynasties in GHSA sports that you've probably never heard of. The Southeast Bullock Yellow Jackets flag football team. Three-year program for the Cochrans. Marcy Cochran and her husband are the coaches for the flag football program there at Southeast Bullock. Southeast Bullock started their program 3 years ago. They've won every game that they have played. They are 62-0 as a program, and they've won three state championships. And so Hannah got to catch up with Marcy Cochran and ask about what, you know, flag football has meant to folks there in Brooklet. And it's been great to see a town like Brooklet embrace the flag football program the way that they have, and winning all the titles. So Hannah will find a single subject and she will, you know, she'll do that. And then I'll come in and we'll do a monthly topic. So Football Fridays in Georgia podcast is now twice a month. And as we're talking, this is late February. So early August, we get back to doing it on a weekly basis. But, you know, we've had the signing day just go past. And we talked to Sean Calhoun earlier this month about what it's like to have two signing days and the trickle-down effect and all these other kinds of things. Tackling single subjects, that's what we kind of get to do when Hannah and I get together. So we'll do like those, and then Hannah has her interviews that she does. So Football Fridays in Georgia podcast is out there on your favorite podcatcher. We do those twice a month on the way and get everybody ready before you know it, Richard. We'll be back in August and everybody back at practice. And then it's another football season for us, the new one under reclassification. And it will be very, very intriguing for me in this first year of a new cycle to see how everybody is with their new travel schedules and their new region foes and all those kinds of things.
And I'm excited about that. I'm hoping to get you and Hannah back on the show. We had a lot of fun. We were talking about football playoffs, and it's always fun just having you on and Hannah, and I've really just had a great time.
No, it's great to, because as you know, there is no off season for football here in the number three state in the country.
Right.
When it comes to athletes going to the next level. I mean, it is literally California, Texas, Georgia. We, you know, it's like Texas and Florida and Georgia are all, you know, working toward number two and number three. And when you're the number three state in the country, everyone's paying attention. And when you've got some of the top talent, and last season when you had one team with three of the top five in the entire country going to the next level, it's always fun to see all of the palace intrigue that's attached to seasons and recruiting and all those kinds of things.
All right, John, before I get you out of here, tell all my listeners where they can follow you on social media and where they can listen to your podcast and watch you on GPB Sports.
Easiest thing with the podcast is set your notifications on your favorite podcatcher. And so when there's a new one, set your notifications for GPB Sports or Football Fridays in Georgia, however you want to do it. Then when a new one pops up, you get your notification and you can listen away. We usually try to keep them to about a half hour, 40 minutes, so that way folks can listen to them in traffic on the way home. For GPB Sports, once again, it's gpb.org/sports. Don't forget to download the GPB Sports app, available iOS and Android. And for me personally, it is at OSG Nelson on the Twitters. If you are someone who has an account on the Gram, the IG, or the Insta, or whatever the kids are calling it, look me up at Cute Sports Guy, because when the boss says that's what you are, that's what your handle is. And on the Facebook, it is John Freeman Nelson, because there are 2,024 John Nelsons on Facebook, and I added my middle name just to be different.
All right. Thanks, John. GPB Sports anchor John Nelson, everybody. Once again, appreciate you being on the show.
Anytime, my friend.
All right. We're going to go ahead and take a break, and don't go anywhere. You are watching The Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge and listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Wishbone Fried Chicken is back in a brand new location, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A here in Noonan. Same great taste, the best chicken around, fish dinners. Open Monday through Saturday, 10:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Dine in, take out. It's Wishbone Fried Chicken, right next door to their former location, bringing you the best chicken around. So great. Wishbone Fried Chicken, 31 Jackson Street, Suite A, here in Noonan.
Hey, sports fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of The Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it, because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Hey, sports fans. Weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Drive time. WQEE. Braves Country is a Southern sports talk show with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. That's Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. Weekdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
What is going on? Welcome back to the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. My next guest, he is the sports director of the CBS affiliate in Macon, Georgia, Channel 13, WMAZ. I am so glad that this guy is coming on, because, you know, covering sports in Columbus, it's nice to branch out and to talk about sports in the other markets. And sometimes our paths cross, especially like when Southwest is playing Spencer in basketball. Please welcome to the show WMAZ sports director, Marvin James. Marvin, how are you?
I'm doing great, Richard, man. I appreciate you having me on your show, brother.
Absolutely. All right. Tell us your beginnings. How long you been covering sports in Macon? Where did your love for covering sports start?
Well, we'll take it back to high school. I graduated from Warner Robins. I'm from the Macon of the Central Georgia area. Graduated from Warner Robins High School. We had a great football program, great tradition there with football. I was kind of not sure what I wanted to do with college. I'm a military brat, so we had been there for about a year or so before my senior year. And we had a powder puff football game one day. And that's, you know, for the younger folks out there, that's when the girls played flag football and the guys were the coaches and all that good stuff and cheerleaders and all that. So I decided to go up in the booth and be the PA announcer, because I was like, I didn't want to coach. I want to do that. So as I was up there, had my little boom box and I had my music, and I was like, man, I was doing the first downs and all that stuff and welcome everybody. And then when I came down, my English teacher, Mrs. Sheila Keener, told me that you have a voice for radio. Like, you need to do this. This is something you need to do. And she just planted the seed right there. And that helped me go from that point to where I am now. In May, I'll celebrate 25 years in the business. You know, been at 13 WMAZ as a journalist, played multiple roles from video journalist to chief video journalist to assignment editor to now in the sports department. So it just, you know, let that be a lesson for anybody to plant a seed in a young student's mind. You can really help them with their career later in life.
Absolutely. And you have done a great job. This is a sister station of WRBL. I know you know Jack Patterson very well. I know that you guys were talking today. And I wanted to make sure, Marvin, to let you know, when I was calling that Spencer Southwest game, to give you a shout out. And feel free to use any highlight footages if any time a team from Macon is playing a team from Columbus. But your teams from Macon are doing well. The Central girls, they're in the Elite Eight. The Southwest boys are in the Elite Eight. Now, really, what is the buzz for high school basketball right now in Macon and the surrounding areas?
Yeah, I got to tell you, you know, just Macon in particular, back in the 70s and 80s, you had to come through Macon literally, not just because the finals were in this at the Coliseum, but you had to come through the Southwest programs, the Northeast programs back in the 70s and 80s because they dominated basketball. Both boys and girls. Northeast Raiders, they won, I think, five titles on the girls' side. And Southwest, they had some of them prominent pro basketball players with Coach Don Duck Richardson that came through that time. And so it's just good to be able to get that buzz back. And the one thing that the Macon family, the Bibb Athletics, has a rule on is that once they're eliminated from the playoffs, they all branch in and join in to root for the rest of the Macon schools. And I think that's a really good thing because a lot of the coaches that are that have played, that are coaching now in Bibb County, used to be players, not necessarily at their schools that they graduated from, but they're there. So they want to create that culture, that winning culture that we're going to support our own. So the Macon schools are doing very well. I'm excited to see what Coach Monquencio Hartnett is going to do with the Southwest boys and what Coach Tamara Nicole Bolston Williams is going to do with the Lady Chargers. They're both looking really good right now, and it's going to be exciting going forward.
And one thing about the Macon fans, they definitely travel. Last week we were calling the Spencer Region Championship. The Spencer girls was taking on the Central Macon girls, and the Spencer boys was taking on the Southwest boys, and the fans packed the stadium. Rutland was in the tournament too. You had some Rutland fans there as well. I'm just impressed with the Macon fans and their support for their high school teams as they travel well, as you could tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the Bibb County and Macon, they're hungry for playoffs. They don't take it for granted. It's one of those things where, you know, only two teams are going to go to a state championship and only one's going to win it. So you got to enjoy the playoff run while they happen. You know, it's not one of those win or bust things for this city. I think the city is just taking it back to an appreciation of how the kids are excelling level to level. And to be in the Elite Eight is such a great accomplishment for a team. I know everybody wants to make it to, you know, the Coliseum, but, you know, it's only going to happen for two teams in each classification. So I think that you should definitely not put your head down to be able to get this far.
Marvin, let's talk about the surrounding areas that you cover around Macon. You go down to the Warner Robins. I mean, you had the Little League World Series team that won it in 2007. Peach County with all those championships in the early, the late 2000s. In the 2008-2009 seasons, up in Forsyth, I mean, Mary Persons has been doing a great job. But really, what is that buzz like, not only covering the Macon area for sports, but the surrounding areas like a Forsyth, a Warner Robins, a Milledgeville, or, you know, Fort Valley State, that area?
It's truly a blessing because you get such a great sampling of all sports and on all levels. You know, I mean, you talk about Mary Persons, they have that rich tradition in football, as well as the Peach County. And they have such a rich winning tradition in these sports. You know, not only just in football, but then in spring sports as well. Houston County just coming off a high school state championship in 6A. And they've been, I think they won like four over the last 7 years. Baseball titles, and they look poised to run it back, at least to make a long run in baseball. You know, soccer as well. You know, we're still catching up with the great teams of Columbus there, because they do a great job there in Muskogee County. But yeah, it's just such a great sampling of sports here in this area. We still have Baldwin, both the boys and the girls, in the state basketball playoffs. and they're both looking really sharp. First year head coach Ben Smith is over at Baldwin High School. He came over from Dublin. So, you know, it's just such good talent here in this area on all levels. Fort Valley State, Georgia College. We just got Middle Georgia State. It's about to enter into the Peach Belt Conference. So that's going to be exciting to be able to see the Middle Georgia Knights enter into that arena as well. I'm just very blessed and very fortunate to be able to cover sports in this area and just to be around such good, talented athletes. I mean, it's not just in the, like you said, you watch them from Little League, you know, to watch Jake Fromm play Little League baseball, to see him being the star quarterback at Georgia is an amazing accomplishment. And now he's in his fourth year playing pro ball with the Washington Commanders. So, you know, things like that are just amazing. Roquan Smith, great player, you know, and I've watched him, covered him since middle school to high school. So, you know, there's a plethora of others, and I don't want to leave everybody out, but there's so many great, great skilled athletes coming from this area and good kids too. So that makes it even better.
Marvin, there is one school right there in Macon that is an NCAA Division I school that really got put on notice. And I'm talking about Mercer University. The Mercer Bears have had a rich tradition of great athletics. If you talk about the early days of Henry Bibb, Sam Mitchell making the NCAA tournament back in 1985, to recently, and you're very familiar with this, 2014, it put Mercer on the map when they upset Duke. I got to ask you, Marvin, what was that feeling like in the city of Macon when Mercer just pulled off a monumental upset? They were a 14th seed, and they beat a number 3 seed Duke team that had a good player in Jabari Parker. They had a very stacked team, but they end up getting the job done. And really, what was that moment like for the community of Macon?
I got to tell you, that's one of my probably one of the top moments covering sports in this area. And, you know, by you know, even that's even up there with the national championships with Georgia, because it was such a huge monumental upset. I'm actually working on a story that's going to air on Wednesday night at 11 on 13 WMAZ. So you guys can check that out. The 10-year anniversary of the win. Mm-hmm. Got a chance to catch up with 10 of the guys or 9 of the guys on the team. They're all over the country. 2 of them are still playing professional basketball overseas. One is a coach at Charleston Southern, and the rest are, you know, productive citizens and doing well. So, yeah, just taking you back to that moment. I think, you know, after they won the Ace Sun tournament and beating Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City, everybody was just so excited. Picking Duke, I think people were excited that they were getting a chance. But, you know, obviously when you're going up against a big juggernaut as such as Duke, you know, you're thinking, you know, this is not necessarily going to go in our favor. But this was a different Duke team. This Duke team had a bunch of 6-year seniors, a bunch of 5th-year guys, a bunch of just 4-year guys that have been there for a long time. This is before, obviously, the NIL and the transfers, So these guys have been there for a long time and committed to this program. So they weren't your average young team. And going up against a Duke team that literally was very young, they had Jabari Parker, who was a lottery pick, but they didn't have much depth beyond that. So I think the it was a perfect storm for Coach Bob Hoffman and those Mercer guys, and they went through. But just watching that game and being there in that game, because Wes Blankenship and myself were able to go to Raleigh and watch that game, and just to be in that presence of the game and see it happen is pure elation. Like, I watch, everybody watches March Madness, and to be a part of a one shining moment, like, we all watch that video at the end, and it gives us the chills and the goosebumps. And, you know, probably a lot of us don't admit we get the teary eyes at the end of the night watching that game. But to see it in live action unfold was like, this is what it's all about. And it was just a great, I mean, to come back, call back home and to see the videos that we saw on our air from, you know, elementary schools and middle schools were letting their kids out during lunch to watch the game on the big screen, and to see Mercer Village full of students watching it outside and cheering. It just really makes you feel good for the Cinderella teams and understand what that truly is about. Now, you know, 10 years later, I've seen Cinderella teams win it, and I know exactly how that feels for that those programs. And it's so big, and it's such a great moment to have for the rest of your life. These guys now, I'm sure they go to Applebee's, they go to Olive Garden. People may not recognize them, but when you find out that they're a part of them, you just want to sit up there and be like, ask them, like, how did it feel? Like, what does it feel like? You know, and they have great stories. They're very humble. And yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm just forever indebted to being able to cover that with Mercer. I don't know if I'll ever get anything bigger than that.
Well, the sports scene in Macon is really incredible. Macon is also the home of the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. Recently, this past weekend, we had the induction ceremony for the 2024 class. It's a very good class. I like the fact Sharif Abdur-Rahim, you got Eric Berry, one of the hardest hitting safeties, Brian McCann, Chris Carpenter, the legendary coach Paul Johnson. What was that scene like? And did WMAZ cover that? Is that a Macon event, or was that something that was for the state?
Oh, it's a state event, but we're so blessed to be able to have it, so we don't have to travel very far to cover it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it's just a great event. I mean, shout out to Coach Paul Johnson. He was my coach at Georgia Southern my last 2 years there, so I was very proud to be able to be a part of that. I actually sat in on the early stages of selecting folks to get into the hall. It's not the final stages, but it's the early prelims, and it's a very detailed process. There's so many worthy players and coaches and just people that that are so worthy of getting into this, so it's very cool just to see them get in. But yeah, to see those Braves that you know, we idolized and watched so much, and it's just a great feeling, because these guys have been to the mountain. They've been to the top of their craft, and it's always good to see them come back and be proud that they're being recognized. And none of them take it for granted. And the fact that they show up, I mean, like you said, you know, some of these guys have very busy careers, and you know, they don't necessarily have the time, but they make the time to come back and to be recognized, because the state of Georgia is so well known for sports on all levels. We're talking baseball, we're talking tennis, we're talking, you know, boxing, basketball, football, soccer, even soccer now, track and field. There's so many different levels of athletes that are coming out here that are recognized internationally, let alone throughout the state. So yeah, that time is always good. You get to rub elbows with some people, like, you know, I remember Ernie Johnson being here a couple of years ago, and being able to rub elbows with guys that you've seen on the larger stage, and you're just so proud to be, you know, somewhat a colleague, if you will, just being in the sporting realm. So it's always good to be able to be a part of that. Every year they have it. It's not long enough for me. I wish it could be like a 3 or 4 day event, but it's definitely awesome to see those guys get recognized, given their flowers, you know, while they can smell them.
Absolutely. And we did have the jacket ceremony. We had Fan Fest on Saturday. Three other players that I forgot to mention: Carolina linebacker Thomas Davis, who played at Georgia, Georgia Sports Communications Director Claude Felton, who just recently retired, and tennis star Wendy White-Prossa were also the 2024 inductees. I think the hall is just great to go to, especially if you love sports in Georgia. We've had some great sports moments in the state, and just going to the Hall of Fame right there in Macon is really a treat if you're a sports fan, especially if you love the history of sports. Like you mentioned, Warner Robins, the Little League in 2007. Columbus has our own championship in 2006. And then we got the 1996 Olympics, and just so many great events.
Yeah, I think that is a well-kept secret. You know, it's one of those things that they're not trying to be a kept secret. They want people to come on out. Because when you go in there, you're going to learn something. I mean, I go in there quite often, and I learn something new every time. I'll sit there. There's so many times I've said, man, I didn't know they were from Georgia. Or, hi, how did I not know that they had an affiliation to Georgia? And I think that's the best thing about it, is that you learn something every time, because there's so many different, you know, just venues within there. And there's so many different scenes that are part of it, so many different jerseys. You know, and obviously the history of sports, you know, transcends, you know, hundreds of years. So when you go in there and you say, wow, you know, this exhibit is amazing. I did not know this. So I think that's the coolest thing about it. Even if you're the biggest sports buff, you know, you're going to learn something new. You're going to see something that catches your eye. You're going to find out a fact or a factoid that you did not know. And that's the best thing about it. It's like, it's a great, great, great venue to be able to go a part of. You know, one thing about Georgia, you got to go through it a lot of times as you're passing through going to Atlanta, or you're coming through going to Macon, or you're going through Savannah. Pull aside, set aside an hour and a half, you know, pull aside, go downtown, get you some good food, and then take a chance to check out the the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame on Cherry Street. You definitely be glad you did that.
Absolutely. Macon is a very unique sports town. Like Columbus, we have our semi-pro teams, the Columbus River Dragons. We also have a minor league baseball team coming in 2025, the Columbus Lions indoor team. Macon has got the Macon Mayhem, and they also have the Macon Bacon. And you covering these two teams, what is the fan base is like? What style do they play? I know what the Macon Mayhem is, what, in the SPHL?
Yes, right.
They're a league a little bit above the River Dragons. The River Dragons are actually in the Federal Prospects Hockey League. But what is that like covering the Macon Mayhem and also the Macon Bacon when their season starts up?
I think at one point we were sharing, you know, I think you guys had the Cottonmouths or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, so I think they played in the same league at one point. But yeah. Macon Mayhem is a very strong team, rich tradition. It's 50 years celebrating Macon hockey here in this area. Like, that's impressive. It might not be 50. I think it's 30 years. 30 years, because we had the Macon Whoopee in the 70s that was a part of this community. And then from there, we went to Macon Steel, and now we have the Macon Mayhem. So yeah, the one thing about the Macon Mayhem right now is, like, it's a shared league. So a lot of the players go to the ECHL. So that, you get a chance to see some good players, and you get to see some not so good players, but you get to see some players that are growing into the field of hockey. A lot of times it's like a AAA or a single A, actually a single A, Macon league and our hockey league, and it's very entertaining. I think one of the things they do a great job of doing some I won't say halftime shows, but shows in between the periods, and there's just so many great theme nights. So you're gonna have a great time whether they lose or win. You're gonna enjoy the atmosphere there. And the Macon Bacon, I mean, what can I say? They were a part of the Savannah Bananas for so long. In that league, in the Coastal Plains League. And right now they're standing alone because the Bananas have branched out. But again, they're the same thing. They do a great theme night. They do great entertainment throughout the night. They have fireworks after every game. They have different specials of a menu full of bacon products. So you can't go wrong with that, right? So there's always going to be something there in the concessions for you with that. And the baseball is really great because it's college all-star baseball, wood bat league, if you will. So you're going to get guys from all over the map, not just Georgia, but you're going to get guys from, the Midwest. You're going to get guys from the SEC. You're going to get guys that are going to be coming there to play. And they're really trying to do well because some of these guys don't necessarily get all the reps at their college, but sometimes some of these guys are just looking to keep that bat alive. So it's very entertaining. It's very high level, I would like to say. And again, what's better than going to a baseball game, in the middle of the summer to have a couple dogs, to have a couple cold ones on Thursday, and just really just enjoy the game at its purest form.
Marvin, this has been fun. Before I let you go, tell all my viewers and listeners where they could find you on social media and how they can watch you in the Macon area. Or can they watch you online if they're not in the Macon area on WMAZ?
Absolutely. You can download the WMAZ 13 app. It's all over, your iPhone or your Android services and providers. So you could definitely go and do that. And we provide live shows and viewings from 5 to 6 and then 10 and 11. So you can go ahead and do that. That's a great device for you. And you can also go onto our YouTube channel, WMAZ Sports. And on Twitter and Instagram, I'm available on at SportsGuyMarv. I'm very interactive on my social media platforms. I'm always engaging, talking back, speaking back, answering questions, showcasing practices and behind the scenes. I'm trying to get into the YouTube, not the YouTube, but the TikTok thing. I have a couple videos that I posted behind the scenes of me going to Jordan Air or going to a couple high school games here. That's still a lot of extra time. I don't know if you ever deal with TikTok, but it's a lot of work, but it's very entertaining, and I know a lot of people enjoy it. So I'm trying to work more on that and giving some behind the scenes stuff. But yeah, man, it's just all about promoting the kids. And I know I say that a lot. And I shouldn't say kids because some of them are adults, but I'm promoting the youth and the athletes here across the state. They do such a great job, and my favorite is actually going to the local games. I mean, it's nothing more than to go on the road and follow one of the teams from the area, and they see you and they see that mic flag and they get excited because they're like, wow, we're about to be on TV, you know. And so that's always what it's all about. You know, I'm a seasoned veteran, so when I'm out and about, sometimes people say, hey man, you got me in high school, you did my game, you said my name on TV, and that makes me feel good because I remember doing that to my mentor and Frank Malloy, who is at 13 WMAZ now as our main anchor. But yeah, it was a great opportunity to do that. So it's fun times, man. It has its good days and bad days, but for the most part, I enjoy it very, very much. Right now, it's softball. It's college softball, baseball, college and high school baseball, soccer, and track and field. So we got our hands full.
Well, Marvin, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule and coming on the show, and love to have you back on.
Always, man. Just give me a holler, man. I appreciate the time. I'll text you my number, so anytime you want to get in touch, we can do this.
Absolutely. WMAZ Sports Director Marvin James, a CBS affiliate out of Macon, Georgia. Thank you so much, everybody, for watching us on YouTube and on Facebook and listening to us on WQEE 99.1 FM. All right, that's it. That's our show. Hope everybody has a great rest of your day, and we're out of here. Bye, everybody.
At Jersey Mike's, they slice your order fresh right in front of you. And let me tell you, watching that can send a rush of emotions through a person. Excitement, impatience, baby-like wonder, indecisive, anticipatory chewing, nervous pacing, happy claps, and finally, jealousy, because that's this guy's sub. I should order one. Good idea.
Sliced right in front of you. It's a Jersey Mike's thing. A sub above.
When you really need something to get you through a long graduation ceremony, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are there to give you a thrill. With varieties like Trolley Sour Bursting Crawlers, the worms' soft and chewy texture, surprising flavor combinations, and neon bright colors will give everyone a reason to celebrate. So when you want to notch the festivities up a couple degrees, Trolley Sour Gummy Worms are the perfect way for everyone to celebrate. Shop now for any trolley that crawls your way.
This is Austin Black, and I am the host of Behind the Tunes. Have you ever wondered about the stories behind your favorite songs and the journeys of those that sing them? Well, each week, we invite you to go behind the tunes and step into the stories behind your favorite Christian artists that shape the landscape of today's music.
Hey everybody, this is Andy Christman. Join me this week for worship as I play 2 hours of the best in modern worship music from churches and worship leaders around the world. And this week, my special guest is Blake Goss of New Spring Worship.
See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I'm making ways in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. For us, that scripture came alive because he did a new thing, actually in an old place.
You don't want to miss a moment of this week's worship with me, your host, Andy Christman.
WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, home of Southern sports and talk, Noonan, Sharpsburg, Franklin.
The Baxters have a new first book. From number one New York Times bestselling novelist Karen Kingsbury, author of life-changing fiction, comes The Baxters, a prequel. The heart-pounding story of Carrie Baxter's wedding. Amidst family tension and the worst storm Bloomington, Indiana has seen in a decade. The Baxters, by America's favorite inspirational storyteller, Karen Kingsbury. Visit KarenKingsbury.com for more information. The Baxters, available now wherever books are sold.
You've been listening to another episode of the Sports Beat with Richard Holdridge, presented by Georgia Alabama Sports Live. You can catch an episode daily on WQEE 99.1 FM The Key, Monday through Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. This is a podcast that covers local sports to the Chattahoochee Valley. If you would like to catch a replay of the show, you can download an episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.